Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz here on Wednesday, February 22nd. Again, no Craig Mish today. Craig will be returning to the program tomorrow. With George, I will be out for the next 3 days. Very sad to leave you all. You know, I know we want to talk about, all the amazing, huge things that are going on in the world of sports. And of course, we are in a little bit of a lull. The Honda Classic is going to get going tomorrow. The Champions League, I suppose, for those of us who indulge in the football, has been pretty incredible. We got more games this afternoon, but George doesn't care about the old. He doesn't care about association football. How's it going out there on Long Island, George?
It's when you said Champions League football. I'm like, what football is being played? Oh, that football. Okay, it's all about, pretty much for me, it's all about hockey. It is a dead time here. You know, hey, it's a time for me and my wife to catch up on some TV shows to watch at night, right? Well, maybe watching a couple of hockey games on the side screens here. I try to recharge the batteries. How about that? Because, well, let's face it, once baseball kicks up for me anyway, then it all begins again. That's a daily grind. The daily lineups and fantasy and mock drafts and regular drafts and this guy got hurt and, oh my God, my team's terrible and that sort of thing.
Yes, that's definitely what we are all getting ready for. You know, I'm dreading the day. I mean, we already got Jacob deGrom banged up, but you know, as well as I do, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, we're going to be doing this show. And, oh, it's, you know, to, you know, pitcher X, Y, or Z up that, you know, they got to go see the doc. We might have a Tommy John. Oh, we got a broken hamate bone for Christian Yelich. It is the nature of the game. Getting to our headlines here on Tuesday, February 22nd, we are beginning with the Atlanta Hawks firing head coach Nate McMillan. Nate McMillan, in two off seasons ago, got a huge contract extension. The Atlanta Hawks have had four different head coaches since 2016. I just don't really know what is going on there. I probably would not have fired Nate McMillan, but I also probably would not have given him the contract extension in the first place. Apparently, there had been some distrust and some distaste between Nate McMillan and Trae Young. So that probably had something to do with it. A bizarre and very sad story. Alabama freshman Brandon Miller, according to both the Tuscaloosa PD and head coach Nate Oates, Brandon Miller brought the gun that teammate Darius Miles used to kill a woman last month. Darius Miles has been charged with capital murder. Although, according to Nate Oates, Miller was quote unquote wrong place, wrong time. We will see about that. We'll see if there are any legal ramifications for Miller, who, by the way, is expected to be a first-round pick in the NBA draft, so we'll see how that goes. Brock Purdy, another announcement, and I've been, George, wondering about this for Brock Purdy, because we have not gotten the update on a successful surgery or what the actual, you know, surgery plan is. We still don't know, because according to reports, Brock Purdy's elbow surgery is still delayed due to swelling. Look, I mean, every day we do get a little bit closer to training camp starting, rookie mini camp, and make no mistake about it, Brock Purdy is in a quarterback competition, so that is a little bit interesting. And Connor McDavid becomes the fifth fastest ever to 800 career points. Connor McDavid, one of those guys who is so famous and so talented. George, even I know who Connor McDavid is.
Yeah, Connor McDavid is a special player, to put it nicely. And I mean to put that nicely. He is that kind of guy where, man, what's the old saying we say in hockey? You don't want to get faked out of your jock. Well, he's that guy who you worry about getting faked out of your jock and you're on SportsCenter's, you know, not top 10 because you look like a fool out there. If you're even with him, he's leaving. You're even, he's leaving. It's really that simple. He is that good. Sort of like the Tyreek Hill out there. If he's even with the cornerback, he's going to go way past that cornerback. So that kind of player there. And as for Brock Purdy, this is an interesting situation here, Davis, because you're sort of hinting at it there. You know, they, right now he was supposed to have the surgery today. Now they pushed it up for swelling here. They say it won't really delay his his return. Find that hard to believe. You're delaying surgery 2 weeks. I think that's going to delay his return to action here. But you got Trey Lance there. Aren't the 49ers forced now to add a veteran quarterback? You can't really trust Trey Lance. He's thrown, what, 700 passes in 7 years. You know, so you can't really trust him. You don't know about Purdy for sure, because although they think it's going to be the internal brace that's going on the elbow, they're not completely positive. It might be Tommy John. And if it's Tommy John, then his season is all but over.
Yeah, which, by the way, I mean, some doctors, obviously not Brock Purdy's actual doctor, but some guys, you know, these Twitter doctors have weighed in, and it's been like, if this injury is what they're reporting, there's no way he can avoid Tommy John surgery. Now, Tommy John surgery is more of a, the way I understand it, and again, I'm not a doctor, I didn't even say it at a Holiday Inn last night, but the way I understand Tommy John is that it's more of a full repair, right? So they get in and it's like you can heal entirely from this, and actually for baseball, a lot of the times these guys even gain velocity because of what it does to their arm. But I think for football, I think for NFL, you don't necessarily have to do the full I believe the report was that there's this sort of hybrid surgery.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts, including custom intervals down to the tick, and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds, and even enter and exit positions in one tap, right from the chart, with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
That you can do that's like football specific, because the mechanics your arm needs is a little bit different for a football throw than for a baseball throw. But make no mistake about it, I'm super interested in the story. I know Craig probably isn't. Craig's going to get back and he's like, you know, we got to be talking about my Miami Marlins. But I will keep updating you on the Brock Purdy Trey Lance saga as much as possible. Got a jam-packed show for you guys. Going to talk about the Cincinnati Reds and their NFBC ADP, and we're going to take a look at the Thrive 5-4 PGA this week, heading into break. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. We'll be back here in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Manick, joined by George Gertz. We are continuing our series of NFBC previews, taking a look at the ADP of each individual team, all their hitters, all their pitchers, and just kind of trying to make sense of if there are any particularly good values out there. And George, we are going to hit on the Cincinnati Reds today, which I suppose you would look at their win-loss and you'd be like, well, I mean, who cares, right? It's the Cincinnati Reds. But it is the most home run friendly ballpark in baseball. And they also have some players who are, to be frank, I mean, very, very interesting, right? Whoever ends up leading off for them, that's going to be pretty interesting, right? Because both of those guys who could lead off are quite cheap. Joey Votto was god-awful last season, but two seasons ago was quite good and has reworked his swing. And, I mean, look, I think the addition of Will Myers, pretty interesting for fantasy baseball.
Boy, there's the optimistic viewpoint on the Cincinnati Reds lineup, boys and girls, because it's not pretty. It's just not pretty here. I mean, technically, everything he said is true. Right? I mean, yeah, it's interesting. Sure. Will Myers, interesting. Corner infielder, DH, sure. Utility player, fine. He's not going to be your starting first baseman. If he has outfield eligibility in your league, well, he probably will. Yes, of course. There's five outfielders. You do the math, 12 teams, 60 players, you know, plus another couple for utility, another couple on reserve. Sure. You need 90 outfielders, fine. You mentioned the ballpark is, what do we call it? It's not the Great American Park. It's the Great American Small Park. Because home runs fly out of that ballpark for both the home team and the visiting team. But really, when I look at this, the only players I'm interested in, Jonathan India is probably the player I'm most interested in because of missing. I've done so many mock drafts already. Second base is desolate. I mean, it is really bad second base. If you don't get a second baseman early, you're waiting forever. And India is not somebody I mind waiting forever. You know, once again, he stays healthy, which has been an issue his first couple of years. I think 20 home runs could be coming there. Got a decent arrow, some bases being stolen, some runs. So I think he's a nice player to add late if you're going to wait. And for me, from what I've been just seeing in these mocks, Davis, I am waiting on second base. Not on purpose. It's just that, really, I want to take Marcus Semien in round three. You know, Jose Altuve in round one. Ketel Marte is another guy you can wait late on. People have given up on him as well here. Tyler Stevenson, a catcher, another guy. Yes, but listen. If you're in a two-catcher league, which, by the way, I hate two-catcher leagues, but if you are, Davis Maddock can start for you at catcher. It doesn't really matter. They're so bad at the first top 8-9 go here. And I say that as a joke, Davis, but, you know, when it comes to two-catcher leagues, my second catcher is generally somebody who's not in Major League Baseball. You know, maybe somebody who's a top minor leaguer that might get called up at some point because I don't want a catcher on some team that's going to bat 200, maybe hit 12 home runs, you know, driving 58 runs. It does nothing for me because that average is going to just be an anchor on my team all day. I'd rather have Davis Maddock catching for me and getting me no points.
Yeah, I mean, and Craig and I talk about this a lot too. I'm totally with you. The number one thing I hate doing is overpaying for mediocrity, which to me is exactly what drafting Tyler Stevenson is at this ADP. Not that Stevenson's bad, but his Zips projection is 446 plate appearances, 14 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 270 batting average. Just no way that guy is worth taking in the 10th or 11th round. I'm just really not all that interested. Now, I think the one guy I could sell myself on in terms of taking, you know, in a reserve round is Votto. He's entering into his age 38 season, but if you take Joey Votto and he does just sort of turn back the clock to 2019, 2020, he's going to be one of the absolute best reserve round selections because he's going to hit 250, but that ballpark just makes it so easy to hit home runs. So I'm pretty interested in Votto in the later rounds. Now their pitching is actually even more interesting, George, because they have a bunch of different guys who are hot names in fantasy baseball. Hunter Green, former top prospect, did get very good results last season as well. Nick Lodolo, maybe even more of an intriguing name, right? Lodolo actually had even greater variance in his outcome last year, but was really good in 103 innings pitched, 3.7 ERA, more than a strikeout per inning. In fact, way more than a strikeout per inning. And even some other guys who are reasonable pitchers in fantasy baseball. I don't think anyone is taking Ashcraft, but Luke Weaver has been a guy who has been usable in fantasy baseball. The issue you have with Lodolo and Green is the ballpark they pitch in.
Correct. And you might downgrade these guys for that reason. When I think about the Reds for fantasy, it is the two players you mentioned, Lodolo and Green. Those are guys I'd be interested in. Once again, that's just simple math here. In most fantasy leagues, depending on how your setup is, but you're starting nine pitchers. You're not really differentiating relief pitchers from starting pitchers. Some leagues do. Some leagues might go 3-3-3, three relievers, three starters, three whichever way you want to go. But Green, like you said, was once a top prospect, really still is. He's just 1 year out of being prospect range there. Has a fastball that goes a million miles an hour and all that. Second year, the adjustments time. Can he make the adjustments how to get major league pitchers out? Because you know the hitters have made the adjustments on how to hit him. So baseball is a game of adjustments both ways. So we'll see that. Lodolo is sort of that under-the-radar guy. Really good pitcher, but I guess when you're thinking prospect, you don't think Lodolo. You know, he's not the name that comes to mind here, but another good, solid pitcher. Listen, is either one an SP1? No. SP2? No. They're both in SP3 range, even SP4. And some of that's because of the team. I'm the first to tell you that they're going to be good days where they pitch great. You know, they go six innings, give up one run, two runs, and they might even leave with a lead, but don't win the ball game. So Ws could be tough to come by. Even quality starts, sometimes they're going to be protected somewhat. Maybe they don't go the full six innings. Could be tough to come by here if that's a category in your league. And let's face it, in today's day of specialization, man, quality starts are going to get harder and harder to come by here. But those two starting pitchers are the most valuable on the Reds. And, of course, the closer. Every closer has value. And this closer is Alexis Diaz. Yes, it's Edwin's brother of the New York Mets. He looks to be very, very good. I'm not going to tell you he's going to be Edwin Diaz, but he looks to be a very, very good closer. He's already been named closer. That's the most important thing right now. There was some thought that maybe he wouldn't be because he's that good. Depending on how you feel about baseball and closing, you can make a very strong argument, one that I would make. That's really kind of idiotic to have your best reliever pigeonholed to the ninth inning. Sometimes the game is decided in the sixth inning or the seventh inning. You know, and Alexis Diaz is somebody who could go four or five outs and, you know, get you to the ninth inning where the game's really over by then. But he's going to pitch the ninth inning for the Reds, although Bell has made an announcement that, you know, there are times where he could go earlier. So keep that in mind also. But Alexis Diaz is a pretty good closer. Think about top 12, because he's not going to save 40-plus games because it's the Reds. But I would put him in around top 10 to 14 range.
Do you think he's a guy who is likely to be traded? I mean, is his stuff that good? I don't know his contract situation. But because actually what's interesting is the guys who are really good on bad teams, those guys don't get traded. The guys who get traded are the guys who are like, you know, very average closers on the Detroit Tigers or whatever, and they get shipped for like nothing at the deadline. But if he's really, really good, the team's just going to keep him, you know, most of the time.
So I think he could get traded. My guess would be no, because I think he's going to turn out to be pretty good. You know, so I don't think they'll want to move him. But then again, teams, you know, they love their one-inning relievers, right? All playoff teams are going to want this. The Reds will get offers, assuming he doesn't fall flat on his face. So assuming he's pitching well, they'll get offers here. But I don't think he's not out of a contract. Oh, we got to move the contract. You know, it is the Reds, a cheaper team. But they're not of that ilk where they're going to have to move this contract. He's not there yet as far as making big money. So I'm going to say, if I had to guess right now, February 22nd, that no, he will not be a reliever traded by the deadline here. But I know where you're going with this, all right, because this is something we all do look at, but I know I look at it. If you're looking for, you know, guy who might get cheaper saves here, they will be out there for guys who could move to teams that don't have bona fide closers. Take the Dodgers for one who could use a bona fide closer. But I don't think it'll be Alexis Diaz.
Yeah. All right. So, guys, there is a look at the Cincinnati Reds for NFBC Fantasy Baseball in 20.
Breaking news. And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah. It's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts including custom intervals down to the tick and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds and even enter and exit positions in one tap, right from the chart, with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, as a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
23, some pretty interesting names there. I'm putting it on the record. Joey Votto, reserve round. I am pretty interested in him. And if he stinks, if he's an old man who can't do anything at the plate, you just cut him, like Hunter Green as well. We're going to go ahead and run into break. A little bit of Thrive Fantasy for the Honda Classic coming at you next. Don't go anywhere. Be back in a second.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock here to run through the Thrive Five, and we're going to do it a little bit differently today. We've done NFL with you guys. We've done NBA with you guys. George is actually going to be taking you through a little bit of hockey on Thrive on Monday. But what we are going to look at today is the Honda Classic. That's right. We are going to do golf for Thrive Fantasy, which I think is pretty interesting because it's a lot harder to price golf events inside of the Thrive app the way that they do it. So everyone, we want you to come prop up on Thrive Fantasy with us this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports and esports platform for player props. So you enter into a fantasy sports contest, except instead of just selecting Webb Simpson, you get to select a statistical category. More or less are the tags that our friends over at Thrive Fantasy use. And your lineup, as it were, is made up out of player prop selections instead of simply player results or fantasy points scored by those players. And every category is awarded a point value. Lots of interesting ways to play in this contest. We think it's pretty cool here at Sports Grid, and we think that you guys will probably enjoy it as well. You can use the promo code SportsGrid when you sign up today, and you'll receive a 100% instant first deposit match up to $250. You can download the Thrive Fantasy app on the App Store or the Google Play Store, or you can simply, if you're on a desktop, you can go to their website, thrivefantasy.com. You can sign up and prop up today. All right, fellas. So this golf event, the Honda Classic, it is an exceedingly difficult golf tournament. This is the third hardest golf course that is in the regular rotation on the PGA Tour. There's no chance of someone winning at, you know, one of these crazy 22 under par type scores. It just never really happens here. There also is expected to be a little bit of weather that's always going to make the golf a little bit more difficult, but it's even more difficult when you realize what happens with the weather at this golf tournament. There are water hazards on 15 holes. Those of us who have played any amount of golf know that that's a lot of water, right? I mean, generally speaking, you're thinking, all right, we got a pond here, we got a lake there. Oh, there is there's a small river protecting the green on this long par four. No, 15 holes, water comes into play. Guys make huge numbers all the time. I've made a couple prop bets at this golf course with buddies throughout the time of like, oh, well, will Jordan Spieth make an 8 at any point? Guys do hit it in the water quite a bit. Not only that, there are also loads of bunkers at this golf course. So maybe, all right, okay, the water's on the right, I'm going to play it safe to the left, and all of a sudden, you're in an 8 feet deep Florida sand golf bunker. Not that fun. So I'm expecting a lot of these guys that we like to not do that well relative to what we'd expect from them in a lot of these golf courses. And I think another thing that's interesting, and you guys will see this as we go through my selections today on Thrive, is that the field is pretty weak, right? I mean, Sungjae and Shane Lowry are the only top 25 official world golf ranking golfers in the field here. And I think that's going to have, you know, a pretty big impact on how the scoring ends up shaking out. So let's go ahead and get into it. We are going to begin by looking at Webb Simpson. Pretty simple line here, 0.5 eagles. The first reason why I'm going to take the under is that the par fives at this golf course are pretty difficult. You know, generally speaking, the way that modern golf has evolved, par fives are, I mean, the, you know, these professional golfers, they lick their chops on a par five. They're like, oh, 550-yard par five, I'm hitting a 350-yard drive, I'm hitting a 180-yard approach shot, and I'm putting for eagle. You know, that's just pretty much how it works. Not really so much at this golf course, because what happens when you hit your 330-yard drive, but your 330-yard drive goes 5 yards further to the left than you wanted it, then you are playing out of a bunker. You are playing out of a water hazard. You're taking a penalty stroke. So a lot of these guys are not going to be playing in that direction. And then the other thing is, Webb has just been playing terribly. He has lost strokes off the tee in 5 straight events. He's lost strokes off the tee in 20 of his last 25 events. He has missed the cut in 4 of his last 5 events. Like, this guy is just in horrible form. So I'm looking to get short on Webb Simpson in pretty much every single category that that we have going on here. You know, nothing against Webb, but just not really going to be picking him here. And the next guy that we are going to be looking at is our old friend Billy Horschel, who actually has decent odds to win this tournament in the market. If you know, if you go look at his odds on the FanDuel or DraftKings Sportsbook, he's right around 22 or so to win. I'll be going against that pretty heavily here, though. His line on Thrive for the first round slate is over or under 3.5 birdies. You are awarded 80 points if he goes over that, 120 points if he goes under that. Now, again, the par fives, which these guys play like cake, are just not, it's just not really the way that that this golf course works. And also, Horschel is in the middle of a horrible run right now. Missed the cut at the Genesis, did make the cut at the Phoenix Open, but did it all via the putting. Over the course of the week, he gained 1.3 strokes putting, but lost strokes off the tee. Missed the cut at the Sony Open, finished dead last at the Century Tournament of Champions. His last real high-end outcome in an event that matters was a T10 at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship in 2022. But largely speaking, this is a golf course that I expect Horschel to struggle at. I know he did win the Memorial last year, but the way the PGA Tour works is they do these swings. They have the California swing, the Florida swing, then they go up into the Northeast when the weather gets nice. And the Florida swing has never really been where Horschel has done that strong. And I like the point values awarded here as well. And just in general, I am erring on the side of these guys performing poorly because the golf course is so difficult. So I'm taking under 3.5 birdies. Moving on now, I'm taking Denny McCarthy under 70.5 strokes. This line, honestly, it felt a little bit unfair. I think that McCarthy should be, in general, he should be favored to play an under par round. That's not the way that this is being set up. Thrive Fantasy is awarding you 100 points for the over, 100 points for the under. That means their base expectation is for him to play this round at even par, which is 71. But McCarthy is, I mean, one, he is the best putter on the tour, right? That is going to be hugely important here. Denny McCarthy basically gained strokes putting every single event he plays. He just gained 2 strokes putting at the Genesis, almost gained 3 strokes putting at Pebble Beach. But the thing that's really changed for McCarthy, I would say, in the last 6 months or so, is McCarthy used to be a guy who could make the cut, maybe even T20 or T30 an event, while not gaining strokes off the tee at all, because that's just how good of a putter he was. But he has actually gained strokes off the tee in 4 of his last 6 events. So I just think the mean expectation for him should be to be able to play around under par at this point. So I think this is probably my favorite selection of our Thrive board here. Every lineup, every contest that I entered on Thrive for the Thursday round at the Genesis Invitational, I would take the under 70.5 strokes for Denny McCarthy and be awarded 100 points for that. Just feels pretty easy to me. Next up, we have another one that felt fairly easy and honestly a little bit of a strange line. I know that Matt Kuchar is getting a lot of respect in the betting markets. The average odds for him to win, if you look across all providers, is right about 28-1. But his line, I mean, his line is four strokes better than the line posted for Denny McCarthy. And Denny McCarthy is just a straight up better golfer than Matt Kuchar. The line is Thrive Fantasy is offering Matt Kuchar over or under 66.5 strokes. You are awarded 70 points for the over, 130 points for the under, which is obviously telling you, you know, the way that Thrive outlines these categories is they want you to take some risks in order to award yourself more points if need be. But I'm just taking the over here. I don't see it with Kuchar at all. He did have a good week last week at the Genesis Invitational, but Kuchar loses strokes on approach way too much. Like Kuchar loses strokes on approach in about half of his events if you go look at his stats on Data Golf, and that is not going to cut it at this event. If you are losing strokes on approach, it probably means you're losing a lot of strokes on approach, because it probably means that some of your approach shots are heading into the ocean, the river, and it's just really not going to get it done. And another thing I would say is that Kuchar could even play well. You know, Kuchar could even get his T15 or whatever he's going to get here and still go over this line. I suppose that the under Matt Kuchar 66.5 is probably going to be a fairly uncommon selection in this slate, so that it would be one argument for taking it, but I'm not going to take it. And then finally, another very easy selection, Harris English under 4.5 birdies. You are awarded 120 points for the over, 80 points for the under, but I'm just not really interested. I mean, Harris English is in horrible form, you know, no good results, losing strokes everywhere, losing strokes around the green, losing strokes approach, losing strokes off the tee. He is, in fact, he has gained strokes off the tee in three of his last 25 events. It's just no good, right? There's no chance. So I'm taking the under there. So to recap real quick, we have Webb Simpson under 0.5 eagles, Billy Horschel under 3.5 birdies, Denny McCarthy under 70.5 strokes, Matt Kuchar over 66.5 strokes, Harris English under 4.5 birdies. That is the Thrive 5 for the Honda Classic.
The new McCrispy Strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy Strip Dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts including custom intervals down to the tick and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds and even enter and exit positions in one tap right from the chart, with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
Classic. Hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you guys use it. Make sure to use that promo code SportsGrid. It's smarter to be on the grid. Don't go anywhere. Georgia, I'll be right back to fantasy or reality.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get to fantasy reality, I need to remind everyone to please be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. You're going to be getting all the best news, notes, injuries, highlights, analysis, just everything that you need to keep your sports wagering portfolio going, your fantasy football teams, your fantasy baseball teams. Really, it is sort of a one-stop shop for betting on games, prop betting, your fantasy teams. It's we aim to please. So be following at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. You can also be following us on Instagram as well. So you're going to get lots of fresh content from the programs. And George, look, we are just here. We're making it through. We got any news notes, or we got any hot stove rumors around the NHL trade deadline? Are my Avalanche going to get the defenseman? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, the problem with the Avalanche is they don't have a lot of cap room here to play with here. So they are another team that might dollar in, dollar out, and that's tough to do with the trade deadline. Because let's face it, a team that's trading your player, they don't want to take on money. You know, unless they're getting a decent player back in return. The Avalanche, though, from what I'm hearing, they're not going to go after another defenseman, even though Kale McCarr is under concussion protocol. McCarr, they're hoping he'll be back at some point next week. Avalanche could really use that second-line center. That's really where they may go at, but that's not easy to find. All right, so I think that's where the Avalanche will go there for. There are some people now who are theorizing Jacob Chychrun, who's probably the top overall defenseman on the market. Maybe he doesn't get dealt. After all here, it's been a strange situation with Chychrun. About 10 days ago, it was a Saturday night, he was doing in-game live with Scott Wetzel. We find out a little after 8 p.m. Eastern time that they scratched Chychrun and that it was for trade-related reasons. Davis, it's been 10 days. Chychrun's still on the team. Hasn't played since because they keep scratching him. He did return to practice yesterday, which is why people are now theorizing, oh, they may not be trading him now. Maybe they're going to keep him. You know, in some ways, they should keep him. He's signed for a couple of years. He's not a free agent. He's had a very team-friendly contract here, so maybe they keep him here. We're all waiting to see what Patrick Kane wants to do. Does he want to stay in Chicago? He is signed for another year. Or does he want to go to a contending team, a winning team this year? Dallas comes to mind. Vegas is going to have to make a move. Mark Stone's out for the rest of the regular season here, so they need a forward here. You know, where does Timo Meier go? He might be that first domino that has to fall. Where does Timo Meier go? A lot of us thinking Carolina makes sense there. They lost Max Pacioretty for the season with the torn Achilles there. Devils would make some sense here to make a run at the Rangers, make a run at the Carolina Hurricanes as well here. Matter of fact, you can make an argument. The team that comes out of that division might be the team, Carolina or New Jersey, that gets Timo Meier.
Well, Timo Meier would be a prize, actually. I'm sort of interested. By the way, Patrick Kane, I don't think that Colorado would do this, but that's what Colorado used to do, George. You'll remember this. Like, when I was a kid, Colorado used to bring in these guys who were, like, 36 years old, had been great players forever, and then they'd bring them in to come basically play, like, their very last good hockey with Colorado. So I would not hate seeing that, although I assume Patrick Kane is on quite a big contract, so it would be a little bit harder to fit him in. The NHL salary cap, pretty opaque to me. I can't imagine it's nearly as complicated as the NBA salary cap, which, like, you have to get a freaking college degree to understand how that works. But that'll be a good little transition, because we're about to talk about some salary cap stuff here as we move to fantasy or reality. All right, George. Well, out there in New York, I guess not exactly in your neck of the woods, but fairly close. I guess down in New Jersey. Ew, gross. The New York Football Giants, they're sort of in this weird spot because they did not pick up the fifth-year contract option for Daniel Jones. Bet they are kicking themselves for not doing that right now, because they can only use the franchise tag on one player. But they got it. And once you use it, that's it. You can't be like, okay, well, we're going to tag Barkley. Oh, actually, nope, we changed your mind. We're going to untag him, and we're going to tag Daniel Jones. And once you apply it, it also immediately impacts your cap situation, right? So the Giants are in this horrible spot of trying to both extend Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, knowing they need to use the franchise tag on one of them, but not really wanting to use it on either one of them. It's a very complicated situation, which leads us to ask the question, fantasy or reality, Daniel Jones is more important to the Giants than Saquon Barkley.
Oh my God. Joe Lisi and I in Football Full Circle last week spent the entire show on this topic, right? Jones and to a lesser degree, Barkley, but what to do with Jones, right? Very tough here. No team really ever wants to franchise a quarterback. That's so much money. It's in the, $35 million, somewhere around there. That's just debt. $35 million. You, there's no bonus money to spread out. There's no way to finagle the cap when you franchise somebody, so you never want to do it. But the Giants pretty much have three choices with Jones. Franchise him, that's one. Long-term deal, or move on. Man, that's all you have here. I think they'll end up franchising him. We're hearing Jones wants $45 million a year because his agent knows the salary cap's going up because all the television contracts are kicking in now. So he wants $45 million a year, just nuts. Absolutely nuts here. The question is, Daniel Jones is more important to the Giants than Saquon Barkley? Well, the answer is yes. That's reality. Of course he is. It's quarterback. You know, Saquon Barkley, and don't get me wrong, this is not a knock on Barkley, but we all know running backs are easier to find than quarterbacks. What will the Giants do if they move on from Daniel Jones? Right, you only have two good quarterbacks that are available in free agency. Right, Aaron Rodgers is really not available. You can trade for him. And Derek Carr. And, you know, Derek Carr's a nice quarterback. Is he better than Jones? Maybe. But with Jones' running ability, I'd probably rather have Daniel Jones. And Aaron Rodgers, you don't know how long he has left. Do you want to get the draft pick? Price it's going to take to get it. And what would will the Packers trade him within the conference? Another thing to consider here. So this is reality to me. Daniel Jones is more important to the Giants than Barkley. They can find a running back. If they move on from Jones, good luck.
All right. So, I mean, obviously this is true. Clearly, Daniel Jones is more important to the Giants than Saquon Barkley. But George, I am about to stun you. I actually think that, the number one thing about Daniel Jones is, no disrespect, I think he did a great job, you know, reworking his career around with Brian Daboll. But when you start to pay a quarterback, not even Mahomes money, not even, you know, the contract Joe Burrow is going to get, not even the contract Lamar is going to get, but when you're paying a quarterback Kirk Cousins money, it goes from you not need to be able to win with them. You need to be able to win because of them, because of the way the NFL salary cap works. And I mean, I would say the guys that you can win because of that, they elevate the rest of the offense so much. I would say it's like Mahomes, Burrow, probably Josh Allen, if he's healthy. You know, I mean, that might, you know, it's just so hard to build a really good. So I think the Giants, I think they screwed the pooch already. I think they just really screwed themselves by not picking up his fifth year option. I think they should pay Barkley and tag Daniel Jones and give it another year and see what happens. That's where I've landed on that. A name I've really liked actually in fantasy baseball in the past, and he used to play for your Yankees, is Luke Voit. He's sort of been in the wilderness. Basically, the Yankees decided they didn't need him. He played. He got traded to the Padres 2 years ago. Didn't really play for the Nationals last year. He signed a minor league contract with the Milwaukee Brewers, which seems good, right? Good ballpark for him. The issue is they are just absolutely jammed full of first base designated hitter types. So fantasy reality, Luke Voit will make the Brewers opening day roster, George.
Funny, he led the Major League Baseball in home runs during one of the COVID-shortened years for the Yankees here. Luke Voit's problem with the Yankees was always he couldn't stay healthy. He just couldn't stay healthy. The man is built like a tank. He's built like a linebacker. It's really what he is. He's built like a linebacker, which is generally not good for a baseball player. You need to be more fluid there. So he would always hurt one of his abdominal muscles over and over again. It was frustrating for the Yankees. You already said it about the Brewers, right? I mean, he's a first baseman DH. That's really what he is. Well, they have Rowdy Tellez, and then they got Keston Hiura, all right, for first base. So he couldn't even be a part of a lefty-righty platoon there, and Tellez was pretty good last year. And then you want him at DH, well, you got Jesse Winker. Like I said, you sort of have Tellez, Winker, Hiura. That's already your platoon guys, right? So do you want to have another guy taking up a roster spot? Generally, most teams don't, because you want that extra guy to go to a reliever, right? Teams love their relievers here to bring those kind of guys on. I mean, he's certainly good enough to do it, and there could always be an injury here that helps out here, which really determines a lot of baseball stuff here. Will he be on the Milwaukee Brewers opening day roster? I mean, I think he is one of their best top 26 players. I do, but I just think he's in the wrong position here. I'm still going to say yes. I think something will work out. Well, he'll be on the roster here. Maybe they can trade a Hiura type, move on from him if they've given up there, and have Voit take that spot here. So it's a very weak reality for me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say looking at their roster, they got so many guys they can play in that spot, right? I mean, Abraham Toro, they got David Dahl, who they'll probably use as a DH. Here's where I'll land, though. For sure, he makes it over Renato Nunez and Hernan Perez, both guys who would be right-handed kind of DH guys. And that basically leaves him as the last guy. That leaves him as the last guy on the opening day roster. So I'm going to say in the end, he ends up making the 40-man roster, and then we'll go from there. So I'm gonna take a very slight reality as well. And then finally, we got a very interesting one here. One that Craig, I could answer this one for Craig right away. But, you know, obviously we got in your neck of the woods, George, an alligator pulled from the lake in Brooklyn's Prospect Park. Obviously, it's very cold out there, so difficult for a cold-blooded fella. But fantasy reality, you've seen an alligator in the wild.
Yeah, now this sort of brings back golf here, and Craig for that matter. I have family in Florida, a lot of family in Florida, the Tampa Bay area, and I go down there all the time. And when I'm on the golf course, you know, with them, and, you know, they always use the joke, you know, watch for gators. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Sure enough, I mean, I don't know what hole it is, whatever. And this thing's not in the woods, by the way. It's on the green. Not the green. It's on just before the green. You know, maybe 20 yards before the green. Just hanging out sunbathing. And my cousin's a big guy. Built like, I mean, he's like 6'6", 300 pounds. I mean, he's a huge guy. But his ball's about maybe 10, 15 feet from there. And he didn't want to take a drop. And we're playing for money, strict rules here. And he's like, listen, just stand between me and the, and he's dead serious, by the way. Just stand between me and the gator and let me know if it's coming at me. Because the way he had to hit, it was, he couldn't see it. Are you kidding me? I am not standing between you and a gator. You know, take your drop here. Yeah. What are we going to do? Hit it with a 9-iron? Boom, boom. Get out of here. Like, yeah, well, if it comes at you, just make sure you serpentine because it can't really turn. It's just fair straight. Like, yeah, take a drop, buddy. I ain't going nowhere near a gator. So, yes, I've seen them. And that's not the first time, by the way.
I'm not. I kind of wish I had. I've never played Florida golf. I've been to Florida, but never golfed in Florida. I feel like it's kind of like a rite of passage. You gotta do it. You gotta play some Florida golf. You gotta see a gator. But yeah, this is a fantasy. I feel bad for clearly this guy who, like, I don't know, was probably like a pet gator or whatever who escaped in Brooklyn. That guy got to be having a bummer of a day when he finally got caught. Guys, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the program. When we return, George and I are going to be hitting you with the Sports Grid 60. Don't go anywhere. It's smarter to be on the grid. See you back in 2 seconds.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm David Simatic, and as always, we're going to end our show with the Sports Grid 60.
All right, it is fantasy baseball season, which means we have our drafts coming up within the next, 5 weeks going here. And one thing I want to bring up is rule changes. All right, people think, hey, if you look at your league's rules, maybe you want some rule changes here. And if you want the rule to be changed here, don't bring it up at the draft. Because what's going to happen is everybody's in draft mode here. You're going to take a little vote here. You're going to get voted down. Whatever you need to do, a unanimous vote, you know, you need 9 votes, whatever, it's just 7 votes, whatever it might be. If you want a rule change in your league, maybe you want to go to a daily lineups from weekly lineups, maybe you want to add a category or whatever, you need to start bringing it up now. And because you need to get a straw vote here, how many votes you got on your side. Listen, my home league, we've been going on for 30 years here. It's hard to change anything. Everyone's stuck in their ways. So I need to know if I want to bring up a rule change, who's on my side, who's not, and then I got to start lobbying. And I got to get those votes. I got to start lobbying, letting them know why this is a good idea, why it'll help their team, whatever it might be. Don't wait till draft night, man. It just won't work. People, it's not in the mood to change anything because they've already studied what the rules are going to be. Bring it up early and lobby, man. Convince everybody of why your rule is the right way to go.
It's actually very good advice. Ben in a home league fantasy football league where, George, we are already arguing and debating 2023 rule changes right now. So I've been there with you. Mine is on, I want to talk a little bit about the NFL draft as we get out here. Cause just one thing I've noticed in going through this year's class and actually last year's class is a lot of the skill position guys, wide receivers and running backs specifically, much smaller, right? Wide receiver prospect used to be, bro, you're not 200 pounds, you're not in the NFL. Now it's like Jaxon Smith-Njigba is like 5'9", 178 maybe, you know, but he's probably the number one wide receiver in the class. So it's just something to keep in mind as we start to evaluate these prospects through the entirety of the summer. Everyone, thank you very much for listening and watching to the program. Thanks to LPM. Thanks to Michael. Thanks to Brett. Thanks to George. See you back tomorrow.